Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot delta H. Your gunner goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
Ginsey.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
Show here. Coming to you live from under the sunny smogberry trees in Shingle Springs, California.
Yes,
it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. And we put this show off because we had some things to tweak around a little bit from the last show. So we went ahead and moved the Western show to this time. And I'm glad we did. We found a lot of great stuff to talk about. But and Kat's the one who found that song, you know, with Bonanza. Oh, just know this, all except one of those guys is dead. So, and you know what? They shut down the Bonanza Ranch in Lake Tahoe.
Hi, Carla.
Oh, who are you saying hi to?
Carla.
Oh, saying hi to Carla.
The intro's too funny. Well, you know, we're coming to you live from the Mustang Ranch, but that just means we drive Mustangs.
Yeah,
there.
There's two Mustangs on the property.
That's right.
Actually, three. One's got a broken engine.
Well,
but
one's got a no-no, but
yeah,
we'll be okay.
Anyway, well, what we've got is the topic of the week is discussing ghosts of the West. And the West is a mighty big place. Who've we got? Oh, hi, Carla. You're back.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've collected a whole gaggle of sites and different things that we think are going to be interesting to talk about.
That's
if you
right.
go to the the Ghost Rider Investigation page at www.ghost-rider-investigations.com, you'll see all the links for the show tonight. And we're just going to get started, though, with, let me pull up the paranormal news of the week. You know, I got to do a little music bit for that so I can introduce it.
Okay, go
with,
ahead.
With paranormal news of the week or something like that, you know. Okay, what we've got here is the Highlands Ranch Herald has the story from 2-19-09, Paranormal Under the Microscope. When things go bump in the night, it could mean a phone call to the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Center for those spooked by otherworldly sights and sounds. That happens to me quite a bit these days.
Carla wants you to put the link up.
It's the links on the show page on our main website. If you scroll down just a bit, Carla, you'll see it down this week's show, February 21st, 2009, and you'll see the Paranormal News of the Week. So you too can follow with us. So you'll be right there. But anyway, going on, the caller might be disappointed to know that when the experts at the center find that the source is a funky appliance or old plumbing rather than a spectral visitor.
Ooh.
And what kind of impressed me with this was that It's basically your standard group, like just like what we do. But what I liked about the story was, if you go further on, quote, it's just that their scientific approach makes them a perfect fit for the Douglas County Library's teen program, which this year focuses on science and scientific concepts. The library invited the team from the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Center to conduct a series of classes about their work and findings at libraries across the district. The idea to bring the paranormal studies into the mix resulted from a conversation about deconstructing urban myths, said Elizabeth Kelson Huber, program and events coordinator for the Douglas County Library District. So, Kelson Huber admits that there's some superstition in her background, and she and her husband were at one time convinced they had a visitor from the other side in a house where they once lived. Well, basically, the reason I pulled the story up and decided to make it the first one we talked about was because I really think that a lot of paranormal groups could benefit from doing something like this. Reach out to libraries, reach out to different organizations, mm-hmm. Rotary groups, that kind of thing, where you could show what your group is doing and kind of get your name out there. And so that's something I think that is real valuable. And more power to our good friends at the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Center. So I'll see if I can find their link and maybe post that too later after the show. Let's go to the Ghostbusters report. Oh, my God.
Ghostbusters!
Yeah, something like that. Ghostbusters to report what they found at the inn. This is from the LDNews.com site, and I don't know where. Oh, Lebanon Daily News. I believe that probably would be out of somewhere in.
Lebanon's in Idaho.
Mount Hope. 4 months ago, representatives from the Greater Pittsburgh Paranormal Society spent two nights at the Farmers Hope Inn investigating reports of unusual sights and sounds emanating from within the walls of the 18th century landmark. Tomorrow they will share their results along with a member of Penn Paranormal's team in Lancaster, who paid a visit to the end along Route 72 on Monday, armed with five cameras and a single voice recorder.
Mm.
I would never go any place with just one voice recorder.
Well,
I know
no.
what happens. But Terry Brown, who owns the inn with her husband, Tim, said she didn't provide investigators with too much background information about the inn and its former inhabitants, who some say still stop by for visits from another world. One of these is Stanley Pfeiffer, who owned the inn in the late 1940s. He's recent, Terry said. He wears suspenders and stands up against a pole, and he smokes. I smell the smoke, and we don't allow it anymore. Like, you're going to tell him he can't smoke?
Yeah.
Okay. Stanley has just been seen inside the main door, she added. He's our greeter, and apparently he's the one who protects us. The Penn State paranormal investigators asked Terry if there were any children on the premises, and to which Terry had said there had been reports of a child ghost. They heard something different about their recording, like a child's giggle, and they were able to determine that this was it was about this tall, and she indicated it was about 3 feet off the ground. So anyway, this story goes on to talk about that they are going to have the results session, and it probably is happening as we speak right now, because this story is from 2:20. So amazing that the things that go on in most of these inns. I'm beginning to think that, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that most hotels with any age to them are haunted?
I believe they are. I also think that you can bring artifacts into a hotel as a decoration that have something attached to it.
Oh, yeah, especially a lot of these antiques and things that come in with a real history. And if people who are not sensitive to this stuff don't know any better, they're going to bring something in that comes on in and decides, hey, this is a great place to live. So, yeah, I agree.
You know, a lot of the hotels out here in the gold country, you know, from back in the 1860s when the gold rush came around, man, people were shooting each other for the gold. They were shooting each other in hotel rooms. They had bad poker games. They shot each other in the lobby. They shot each other in the street. I mean, it was rampant. So I have absolutely no doubt that most of the older hotels definitely have some type of activity in it.
Okay, now we got the latest, the last and final story. We always run three. This is from WCSCH. I'm going to say that again. WCSH6.com from Portland, Maine. It has a story from Bangor. And here it is. Local ghost hunter to talk to kids. Hey, there's something to do. Bangor News Center. Kids got spooked at the Bangor Library Friday. The Bangor Ghost Hunters talked to a group of children and parents Friday. They explained how they investigate different places for paranormal activity, and kids got to see all the cool Ghost Hunter gadgets like electromagnetic field meters and night vision cameras. The Bangor Ghost Hunters founder and director, Harold Murray, also used magic tricks to show the kids that some paranormal activities have a logical explanation. I put magic into it so that I leave something unexplained for them, but yet I give them another one I explained. So you have an explanation of one thing and not for another. And basically it goes on to say that this is going to be a regular event. So again, here we go. There's just these, matter of fact, they have a video here on the site. So if you just click on our link to it, you'll see that yet again, we have another group reaching out. And I think this is just more of a trend than anything. And so, personally, I encourage it, and I'm hoping that we, you know, here at GRI begin to do that with some of the local, groups around this area, and I'll be more than willing to open up. So, that said, we also did some interesting investigation work. Now, I've been down sick for a couple of weeks, and on some pretty powerful antibiotics, and I'm feeling a little bit better now. So, Kat being down here, we decided to take a run up to Placerville, which is 9 miles up the road from us. And Placerville is called Old Hangtown for a reason. There was a lot of hangings there. And consequently, we know from past investigations there's a lot of ghosts in that place. And we rarely ever get skunked when we go out for, doing EVP work.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're taking cameras, sometimes we get orbs, although I'm a little still on the fence with it, but with orbs. But some are awful hard to, deny that there's something to them. But anyway, we decided to do something I'd always wanted to do. We waited till evening when the town was really kind of shutting down a bit and took a stroll all the way up the main street of Placerville and then on to, all the way back down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found was that we did, as I kind of felt might happen, we did get quite a few EVPs, and we got some just amazing ones, especially one in front of a bookstore. There's two bookstores in town. I'm not going to name which one this was that I was in front of, but we stopped and were looking into the window, and I had ran the EVP recorder the whole way. And we took our EMF meters. I'm not sure. Did you get any hits? Because you were holding that.
I was walking behind you. The only hit that I got was underneath those one power lines where you always get a hit.
Yeah. So we had two EMF meters, and well, we hit known sources, but I didn't really see anything. Which, and that's not unusual. You'll get EVPs when you don't have any other indication.
You know what's really strange is the EVPs that we got without the hits.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that seems to be normal for our area. So. Although, when I've been, like, on USS Hornet and things like that,
mm-hmm.
I saw amazing activity, that correlated right with what we got for EVP. So, I don't know. But what I'm going to do, though, is play the EVP we got, which I think it should come in pretty clear, and I think you'll be able to hear what is being said. So, let's go ahead and play this.
Are there any spiritual entities who wish to speak with us here at the bookstore?
Yeah.
If so, please go ahead and...
So you hopefully everybody there could hear that.
Did you hear that, Carla?
Yeah, let's see if Carla heard it.
You hear this. Here! I'm here!
I'm going to play it one more time.
Are there any spiritual entities who wish to speak with us here at the bookstore?
Yeah.
If so,
yeah.
Please go ahead and...
Exactly it, Carla.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She kept on repeating her presence there.
She says, "I'm here, I think."
Yeah, I'm here, I think. It's exactly it. There were only two of us really right there on that street at that moment in that particular vicinity, and here we are having these activities happen. There's another state landmark. That's called the Hangman's Tree Bar, which is actually closed down because the structure of the building was in such bad shape that the Hangman's Tree moved temporarily for the next year or two until that building is completely gutted and renovated, and they're going to move back in. And there's
mm-hmm.
some really negative entities over in there.
There's a lot of violent, bloody history surrounding that place, and it's just you walk past it and you get the feeling that you're being watched, or you need to notice the building, or you even need to be across the street and take a good look at it.
Yeah, it. I've always wanted to investigate it, and other groups have done that locally, but I'm trying very hard to see about getting what I call a passive investigation in there, which is basically we get in, maybe do an hour or two of active investigation in the building with somebody there to watch over us, and then set up cameras and leave them overnight with some EVP also. That said, the next best thing was what we did on Thursday, which was to walk by with recorders and just stand out in front of the building and see what we picked up, and we did indeed get several EVPs. One of them was, it was very interesting, was because Kat related a particular name of an individual she picked up, and that very same name was picked up on EVP with a sort of a whispery voice. So I'm going to go ahead and play that, and I'll play it several times because it's a bit difficult to catch on this one, but let's see if we can get this. And I'm going to bump it up to about 150% on the volume. And try it again. And one more time. So what we think it's saying is, we think it's saying the name, I'm Zachary. And that's exactly the name that Kat came up with just prior to this particular event, you know, of picking up this particular EVP.
We were walking on the street, and I said, there's a guy right in front of us, and I'm getting the name Zachariah. And right after I said that, you hear this, I'm Zachary.
Yeah, so, well, oh, you're not sure? Okay, let's take it up. I'm going to take it up to 200%, so I'm going to go ahead and play it there just for you, Carla. Here we go. Get ready. I can hear that actually better at the 200%. I'm going to take it up to 400. Let's just go all the way with, this is the max what I can get out of the control board here. That's something I haven't heard before at the very end. Zachariah.
It sounds a little bit different in the headphones, but I did call for Zachariah.
Well, It's kind of a mix. I'm still thinking it's Zachary, that he's just going with the short name. But
well, for those of us that people out there listening that can't understand it, have it up on the website and you can put your headphones on and listen to it.
Yeah, it's actually on the show links page, so you could go ahead and click onto that. You can even download it. I've enabled it on our site where you can download the MP3 directly. You don't have to listen to it in the web page. So just download it, play it with your own software, and see what you think.
Yeah, we were just walking down the street, and I looked at John, and I said, I get the name Zachariah. He's right here. And at the 2 seconds after that, it's, I'm Zachariah. Zach.
Yeah, now we'd like to know. What I am going to do is talk to our investigator, Michelle. Whoa, we just got a hit on the side of the building.
All right.
We have our own local haunt here, so sometimes I get the feeling our friends like to pop in on us on occasion. I am thinking, by the way, just kind of as a side venture, I've been waiting, once I get through with the tax season and I've got a little extra money set aside, I'm going to buy one of those. It's not the Frank's box, it's the Ovilus. I'm going to pick up an Ovilus and incorporate it into the show. I'm going to have a section of this whole show where we have an open mic for spirits and see if we can actually bring spirits in to talk to us and maybe answer questions on the show. So give us a little time on that. That's something I'm looking at maybe into May, June time frame. But at $200 a pop, these things aren't cheap. So when we do get it and the studio is a little more mature than it is, I'm going to bring that in. So we may be very well be the one of the first shows to do this. So, you know, live mic hour for spirits at the studio, you know.
I thought you were going to buy me something pretty. Yeah.
I'll get you something pretty.
Okay.
That said, we had quite a few more hits. I did not upload this one particular EVP. Many of you have probably heard of the Carey House Hotel, and that's because there's been many television specials about that. And that's the preeminent hotel in Placerville. It's at the very south end of Main Street. And the place is haunted as all get up. There's just ghosts in there all over the place. And right next to the hotel is an alleyway that leads back to a parking lot where we usually park.
Mm-hmm.
And so we walk through. And I make a point of it to do EVP sessions. Whenever I walk through there and I got a recorder, I just work it. And I always get an EVP, but we never had done it at night. I did this on Thursday night. I did EVP there twice. And and on one of those sessions, I got the most unearthly sounding voice in there. And I'll make sure that it's posted on the front page so folks can listen to that and decide for themselves. There was some traffic in the background, and I apologize for that, but still, it doesn't explain what was coming through, and I guarantee you there were only two people in that alleyway at the time this was recorded, and it was a male voice with this deep kind of sing-songy effect to it. But what we did do is we got another one, that, kind of your classic EVP where it's kind of a croaky sound to it, to the voice. And I always hate these where they say, I'm right behind you. But I thought, what the heck, let's throw it in there. So I'm going to go ahead and play this one. Now, you hear that kind of, there was the woman's voice, which I think was Kat.
Yeah.
And then you heard kind of a scratchy thing. And it took me a while to pick it out, but it's saying, I'm right behind you. I'm going to take it to 150. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll play it one more time. We'll take it up to 200, and then I'll stop with that. Oh, come on. My switchboard's giving me trouble tonight. Here we go. There you go. So I'm right behind you. We get a lot of that out here. I don't know if it's the same for other investigators out in other locales. It seems like the Gold Rush ghost here like to say that a lot. That and insulting us on occasion when we get too close to their gold pokes or something. But anyway, that was basically pretty much an interesting evening. I was left. There was the other bookstore. I will say this: we had some interesting discussions at the other bookstore that we were walking past as we were going back to the car. And I mentioned something about the ghost sleeping, and I got an immediate EVP, very clear response,
yes,
too. I should have uploaded that tonight. We got an immediate response was the ghost saying, no, we don't sleep. And then right after that, I'm saying, oh, but they probably don't sleep. And I didn't hear any of this, of course.
Right.
So, but what was most interesting is as we were walking back to the car, I was talking with Kat, and we were coming within sight of the Hangman's Tree Saloon, and I mentioned, gee, it would be really nice if the spirits up there would actually light up the second floor window to give us a signal that they hear us.
Like real nonchalantly.
I was
like,
saying
oh,
nonchalantly,
you know.
And I looked and didn't see anything. We kept walking, and all of a sudden, Kat grabs me, and I look up. She says, "Look," and the second room window, the second floor window, was actually glowing soft white.
Yes, it was. Like a candle.
Yeah, like there was a very low light source in there. And I can't say for sure that was some sort of paranormal event, but I think it was awfully coincidental because we watched it for a while afterwards when it faded away. And there was nothing there. And there was traffic going behind in the back of it because Highway 50 runs right through Placerville.
No, but it was sustained.
Yeah, it was there, and then it went away. And so without knowing, ever having been in there, I don't know, but I can tell you this, it was awfully suspicious.
That was the one window that doesn't have a window in it.
Yeah.
It's open.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the reason
so
they have the trouble.
So it was the reflection off the glass. There is no glass.
There's no glass there. It's just wide open. And one of these days, if I can get into Carey House Hotel, I'd like to get one of the facing hotel windows so I can actually put a camera and look into that particular facility there and go from there. But it was an extremely disturbing thing, I think, to have that happen.
Cool. I even shined my flashlight up there just to make sure that it wasn't a reflection of something, and I took it back down, and sure enough, it was just it never moved.
Well, with that, I can say this. What we learned was that there was an awful lot of activity all throughout the town of Placerville.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically, this is a technique I've tried in a much smaller form before and never had really envisioned just taking it to the extreme and actually doing a complete walkthrough of a town, you know, end-to-end on a moderate-sized town.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to pick up that much evidence and then use it as kind of a technique for bird-dogging, you know, promising places. So we're going to start using that more. And I think it's something I'd recommend to anybody who's, you know, trying to find places that maybe nobody thought to investigate. We even found the oldest hardware store in the West, which is right there in Placerville. We were standing in front of that and noted that we were getting hits there. So all up and down that street, we got, you know, all sorts of new evidence, and we're beginning to construct our caseload for the year now that we're all feeling better. And I really recommend it highly as a great technique. So, you know, get out there when you're doing your investigation work and just run a spot check. You don't have to know what you're running into. You'll just eventually just walk into it.
Right.
And if you're good with your evidence analysis, you're going to find a great technique.
Well,
you know, or a great place to visit with this great technique.
It's also really important to note that wherever you live and whatever kind of investigation you're doing, whatever works for you, whatever works in New York might not work out here in California, and whatever works here in California might not, we're doing a town, might not work in the woods. So whatever technique you use, try a lot of them, and whatever works, stick with it, because you'll get a lot more evidence.
Okay, with that, we're coming up on the half-hour break, and we're going to go ahead and get into the whole Wild West show and start talking about some of the different cases, that everything from Arizona to Nevada to Death Valley.
We got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. So we're going to go ahead and take our brief break, and I thought it appropriate that we pick the Rifleman theme. Actually, Kat suggested it, and I went out and grabbed it. So we're going to play the Rifleman, and when we get back, if anyone feels like calling in to join us and maybe tell us some of their experiences in the Wild West, the call-in number is 646-478-0377. Or I believe if you do have an account on Blog Talk, you don't even have to do anything other than log in and then use the Press to Talk button to talk with us. So that said, we're all ready to go, and here it is, our Western music break.
Thank you.
we're back, and we've got plenty to talk about. Wild West Show. Let's see. Hello, pilgrims. We're on the Wild West, and we've got somebody. Lerner is asking a question here on the web chat. Has anyone been to the grounds of Harry Houdini's house in Los Angeles? I've been through L.A. quite a bit. I've never been down through there, though, to Harry Houdini's house.
Is that on the tour of Ghost Tour?
Oh, I think it is. I think Houdini's got his own museum and different things down there, so I'm not sure. But that would qualify as a ghost of the West, but I was going with a Western theme, so that's a magic theme. I think we'll have to do that for like a Halloween type deal.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so we'll put that in the notes for next October. But what we are going to talk about is, let me pop off to some of the interesting stuff that we're going to start off with Tombstone, Arizona. And this has, it's the second link that says Clinton Gang, Old West Ghost.
Clanton
Gang, yeah. This is an interesting photograph from Boot Hill, and it was by, what was his name, Ike Clanton?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Ike is an interesting character. He's a direct descendant of one of the Clanton gang that I guess was in the O.K. Corral fight.
Shot out in the O.K. Corral.
Yeah, so, and Kat has actually conversed with this guy quite a bit, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so, and he's still alive. I mean, this guy's the real deal, and he has lived in Tombstone most of his life. Well, if you go out to that page and take a look, I'll read it off again, just if, for those of you who just want to point your browsers to this. It's http://www.clantongang.com/oldwest/ghosts0.html. And if you go out there, you're going to see this famous Boot Hill ghost photo. And Boot Hill Graveyard was opened in Tombstone, Arizona in 1879, and most of its occupants suffered violent or unexpected deaths with their boots on. Kind of makes sense. They wouldn't be in their Zoris or slippers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is the reason why the early pioneers named it Boot Hill. Some people believe that ghosts are the spirits of people that died unexpectedly, violently, or at the hands of others in gunfights, hangings, etc., electrical accidents, car accidents. Whether this is your belief or not, please let me warn you, the following photographs are not only strange and unexplainable, even to paranormal experts, they can be downright scary. Well, I was not scared. But this photograph is of a picture of a friend of Ike Clanton's dressed up in Ike's 1880s cowboy garb. And it's a black and white photo with this gentleman standing to the left with these mountains in the background. And if you look just to the right of this gentleman's shoulders, you'll see what appears to be a small man in a small little black hat way further down just past some tombstones. So they were right there in Boot Hill. And there were all sorts of scrub and sagebrush and things grown in that were not apparent to the living people here that who were in the Boot Hill. And yet the photograph shows this graveyard grown over, which is physically almost impossible. And yet here it is, you know, in black and white. And when you scroll down to the next page, to the next photograph, here's the blow-up of this guy. And some people were saying this looks like a woman, and I don't think that's a woman. I think that's either a young boy or a younger man with, and some people are saying that there's a knife in there, although I can't seem to see it. I don't know about you, Kat.
Yeah, I've seen this. If you look right here, you can see the knife traveling this way, or it's right here.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but it definitely is looks like a long sleeve shirt, youngish style man with definitely kind of a brown or blackish hair, sharp relief features, and looking not directly at the gentleman in the picture, he's looking off and away to the distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to reason what in the heck could be going on there, but off to the right there's also some unusual features in the photo. So it looks to me like either someone, if they staged this, they did a heck of a job. And personally, I don't see any way that could have been Photoshopped in that easy. It's just not one of the amount of difficulty to do this, you know, professionally is to come in and fake this. I would have some issues with that. Do you hear that? Got a little bit going on. We're getting a little bit of interference on our line, so hopefully, can everyone still hear us out there?
Carla, can you hear me?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, good.
Okay.
Good. So we got some kind of interference going on the line. We're gonna, just go plow right through this. Okay. Anyway, but what I'm trying to understand is why such a thing could happen. Especially, you know, and if you scroll further down, there's actually a little YouTube movie where Ike Clanton talks about this with a psychic medium named Vicki Flanders. And basically, they come off pretty credible, because Clanton, up to this point, maybe back me up, he didn't believe any of this.
He didn't believe the photographs that people were showing him actually had any type of activity in it until he actually took this picture himself. And the reason why the man in the photo with the gun is standing a little bit to the left is because he wanted to catch the mountains in the background. When he had this photo developed and looked at it and realized what was in the picture, he actually had it analyzed, and it is a genuine photograph. This is the picture that made Ike Clanton believe that the place is actually haunted, and it gives a little bit more credibility to the pictures that folks have taken and shown him. This is the photograph that did it.
Yeah, and again, I've got experience with, you know, image processing and that kind of thing and the kind of work I do. Nothing I saw in this photograph indicated that there would be any possible reason for this to be happening other than it's an actual photograph.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that bothered me the most, though, was hearing these folks talk about the fact that particular spot in the graveyard is not that overgrown. And when they went back 2 weeks later, after getting this picture processed over at the local thrifty, I mean, this is only a 10-year-old photograph.
Mm-hmm.
They look back, and here's nothing like that in the graveyard, and they didn't remember it that way when they took the picture. So, obviously, there are an awful lot of spirits running around Tombstone, and that leads into the Birdcage Theater, which you were looking at with your particular, I don't know if you're, you've got the Cripple Creek page up.
I have Cripple Creek.
But the Birdcage Theater has been investigated by many, many paranormal groups. You know, TAPS has been out there. I would like to go out there with our team in the coming year or two and do an investigation there and arrange for that. But it's an extremely haunted venue. The entire Birdcage Hotel is just filled with ghosts. There were prostitutes that worked in that building night and day, literally. And it was, to this day, it remains an extremely haunted venue. So, what were you looking at in that earlier today? You were looking at some things on that.
The Birdcage Theater actually is one of the most haunted spots in Tombstone. There was a man, they called him the Swamper, and he actually lived in the basement of the Birdcage Theater, and he had a small cot, and he basically took care of the place as his rent. There were silver mines down underneath the Birdcage Theater, and what he had done is he had tunneled underneath the theater itself, and he was actually bringing some silver up all by himself, and it is still stashed down there, and they actually were renovating the place downstairs to build a new bar. And the workers kept complaining down there about equipment failure, and they were actually getting thrown around, and almost one guy, I believe, actually broke his ankle down there, and they kept reporting this man. And the problem is that the Swamper actually died and is still down there, and his stash of gold is what he's protecting.
Yeah, and there's been other...
Or not gold, silver. I'm sorry.
There's been other events that have happened down there reported by the current, you know, folks that are working there, especially one massive... I believe that this table weighed on the order of 800 to 1,200-pound table was moved up against a door that there was only one way in, and they had a heck of a time getting in there. And it took, you know, basically five men to be able to move this table. I mean, big, strong, burly guys that really had their, you know, strength about them to move this table. So they had to basically come in another direction that was not meant for it to be able to get in there, and then had to, you know, bring in folks and move this thing around. Many, many cold spots, many voices, many folks being tapped on the shoulders. When Taps, of all people, Taps was in there. I remember Taps, Jay and Grant were actually sighted a woman and then split up. And it was pretty credible what they did on that. They actually split up and said, "Did you, you know," and made sure they told different people and to say, you know, to say what they did see. And they evidently did see this woman who's been seen before there. So, you know, Tombstone is worth a visit to any group that really wants to go out there.
There's actually a story out of the Birdcage, too, that when you come up the stairs from the basement, a couple of the waitresses have actually told the story of being grabbed by the ankle on the third step. And it all comes down to the Swamper, and he's got a stash of silver in that room somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's protecting it.
Huh. And what's going on the web chat? Let's look at some of these things. Oh, heck with Gettysburg this year. We want to go to Tombstone.
Come on, Carla. Let's go to Tombstone.
Yeah,
let's go.
I'm building my teardrop trailer so we could go out there and camp out and just stay right out there in the desert and bring them in. So
yeah, me and John are going to build a teardrop trailer and we're out of here.
It'll be definitely this red trailer being towed behind my red Mustang. It's going to be great. And it'll have all the gear built in and generators and everything we need to investigate anywhere, anytime, any place. But let's see, we had someone, Lerner, is talking about a town with a huge haunted asylum and three blocks from my house. So I guess I'll concentrate there. Lerner, can you tell us where is this place that you're talking about? She's sitting there.
Everybody's going to Tombstone.
Yeah, a lot of folks are talking.
We're getting a Wild West posse going here.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lerner, if you could tell us where this asylum is at, we'd like to know. I hunted an asylum here last year over at Clovis Sanitarium, and that was insane, literally insane. It's funny, I just found somebody was looking for me. Yeah, call in, Lerner, if you could tell us a little bit about it. Oh, it's in Weston, West Virginia. Well, speaking of the West, fits in, doesn't it? Sort of.
No,
it doesn't, but... Still, anyway.
Are you talking about Moundsville? I'm just wondering if she's talking about Moundsville's a penitentiary, though.
I'm going to put this down, Weston, West Virginia. And we're going to just research that later. So that's going to be asylum.
Well.
And if maybe she. Have you investigated this place, Lerner?
There you go. It's Allegheny, all right.
Oh, Lunatic Allegheny.
Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
That would be interesting if you do happen to investigate that. Maybe we'd like to have you on the show and you could tell us about that. Oh, no, no, no. What's this? No, no, no.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. You could be on the show. We'll be gentle. Anyway, if you happen to pop your email our way, we'll definitely be interested in talking with you about that. That would be great. But we won't press you too hard. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go into, we've done quite a bit with the good folks out here in Tombstone. Very worthwhile visit. I was looking at another hotel in a town in Arizona that actually the good folks at Taps visited, called the Copper Queen Hotel. And this place was interesting in that I really was impressed with the video that came out of Taps with the bed sheet moving. And yeah, and if the way Taps looked at it, where I believe it was Grant was sleeping in this room, had trained the camera up on his feet, and this thing moves. And they threw the evidence out, but it was still compelling enough to show it on the air. Oh, we have several calls coming in.
That's Lerner.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take one of these calls right now, so we'll just kind of...
Same person.
Oh, we got... All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. If I can just get the... Okay, you're on the air.
Lerner?
Hello?
Hello?
Huh, I'm going to hit this one. There's two of the same number. Okay, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
You can hear me?
Yep, yeah. We can hear you.
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you, but I can hear you. Yeah, it's not Moundsville. It's a lunatic asylum that was in operation for 130 years. And the state owned it and would not allow any kind of investigations in it, but it was sold a year and a half ago to a family, the Jordans, and they're trying to raise money to preserve it, and part of what they do is allow paranormal teams to come. And you can spend the night.
Have you considered going in there and doing that?
Well, I'm a volunteer guide, so I've had things happen to me just in the course of guiding. So, you know, I am thinking about spending the night, but really just walking around I've had stuff happen to me.
Well, have you tried collecting any evidence? Since you're in there all the time, I'm sure you've probably taken a few recorders in and things like that.
Well, no, I don't have any equipment, you know. It's like basically when I'm there, I'm trying to help other people, move them around the building or you know, talk about stuff that has happened. So I'm never there really to investigate on my own. But, you know, I'm kind of content to just have people, like I saw someone who disappeared in the middle of a hallway and stood there quite a while and watched him walk towards me. I thought he was a real person.
Wow.
And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, in fact, I do have a tape recording of this, but of course, a tape recording is no use. I was walking along. Taps was there. Taps did a workshop there, and we were moving people around the building in groups of 50, and we were leaving one hallway and going into the next one. And I had given myself a job of being the final person, the last person behind the group. And you hear me on the tape, and I say, you know, I think I hear sounds behind me. And so I turned around, and I go, yeah, there is someone. And this man walked out of the gloom at the other end of this long hallway, and I thought, well, that's strange. And I stood there watching him, and then about halfway up the hall, he suddenly froze, and he became a flat, black, man-shaped shadow, and he just slid into the wall.
Wow.
And at that point, I realized I was alone because the group had kept walking. So I turned and ran.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's just a very lively place. I mean, some places more than others. And I don't know, I just kind of go in there when they need a guide. I go in there and help or, you know, whatever, because we do historic tours too. And, in fact, the first ghost I saw there was on one of my tours during the daytime. So it's a I love this building. It's a fascinating place. It has 9 acres of floor space. It's got a 3.5-acre footprint. It, like I said, it has 130-year history. It closed in 1994.
What's the name of it?
The Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
You know, I've heard of the Trans-Allegheny.
Well, it was. It's had several names throughout its history, but when the Jordans bought it, they decided that they would go back to the first original name that it was proposed under. So anyway, I don't want to break up your theme about cowboys, because I'm very interested in that, too. But I just love to tell people about this building. And, you know, there's a website. It's TransAlleghenyLunaticAsylum.com.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. When you decide to do an overnight trip there and maybe come back with some evidence and want to talk about it, you know, get in contact with us, and we'll have you on the show.
Okay. Okay, I will. I mean, they have... they have teams. They rent the place for the night, and then I'm planning to go on one pretty soon. So,
okay.
You know, I will. You know, I'll do it. I'll be glad to do it. Okay, I'm going to let you go so you can get back to the cowboy ghost, because I'm interested
okay.
in that.
Thank you for calling us.
Yes,
oh, you're welcome.
In.
Bye.
Man, that's awesome. You know, it'd be cool is to broadcast live from that place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pack up the teardrop and just. Head out.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's...
Dude!
Well, that was so weird on the switchboard. There was two of her there. She called in and...
Wacko.
Yeah, but that is... You know, it's interesting to me that these particular places are just so full of this kind of thing. You see it with... when I was at Clovis, although it was an extremely small asylum, it was just packed to the gills with activity. And up here in this neck of the woods, my grandfather was actually chief surgeon over at DeWitt State Mental Hospital here in California. And that building, he actually died on the premises there. He had a pancreatic problem, and he died in his office. And I've often wondered about that. What happened, if it's possible that he may still be there. But they eventually turned that facility into the government offices for the county, Placer County, which I really am deeply disturbed at that. I find that amazing that here it is, a government facility would move in there and build right on, you know, obviously they raised it to the ground, but there's going to be activity galore right there on
the
site. What the
hell's the matter with these people?
I know. Somebody was smoking something, in my opinion, but, you know, still, asylums are extremely active places. And the thing is, I think you need to be very prepared when you go in, because when I went into the one that I went into in November, it took me about 3 days to really get over it. And it was an experience that you feel completely drained.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend to people be, you know, if you're feeling a little under the weather, it might not be a good time to go in there, you know. Just rest up and do your thing. But getting back to our Western theme. Yep. So we're gonna get back into this, and we're gonna come up on the half hour break. So I'll zoom through. We'll go till 9 o'clock, and then I'll go take the break. But we're into the Copper Queen Hotel, and the Copper Queen. It was, again, we were talking about the fact that Grant had that particular event that happened where that, I believe her name, and I'm going to scroll down here, there was a lady of the evening, Julia Lowell. Here it goes. And the website is www.copperqueen.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's a history and legends page if you happen to have a browser open and you want to go out there. And what's really nice to see is they've embraced this, and they have the Copper Queen Hotel's ghost hunt every Thursday night. So they open it up for folks, and this is really great. You know, these haunted places are really teaching not only the history of the place, but they're giving a first-hand experience. But she evidently has a real thing for single gentlemen coming on into the room and then playing with their feet. So she's a Western foot fetish or something.
Oh.
But what's interesting to me is that a lot of these places that are built near mines or on top of mines, and this place is no different. It's right there, very close to the actual copper mine itself. Tend to have these things happening. So this is yet another of these places that I would like to, on one of our investigations, head on out to and spend a day there and just walk through it and investigate it and hit it with our equipment. We've got quite a bit of it, so I would definitely love to set up here. But it's an extremely beautiful place.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Look at all the woodwork.
Yeah, the woodwork is all original. It's just... It was originally 73 rooms, and now it's gone down to 48. And they have more than one ghost. There's even a small boy, which I believe the Taps episode was talking about, drowned in the San Pedro River. And it's believed he found his way back to the hotel because he may have been staying with a relative there at the hotel. And he's a bit mischievous and has a habit of just playing around with people, and he likes to run through the rooms and giggling and things like that. And so he's never seen, he's just heard. And that is something that you hear an awful lot with kids, in these especially in these Western haunts. We've had a few cases where we've heard things on investigations and with children, and they're always like that. You never see them. The ones that are real tragic seem to be the ones that show up, you know, where you actually can see them. there's a real energy driving
that. Well, that picture that you took.
Yeah.
That you were showing me. It's got a little child.
Yeah.
It's a child.
Yeah, we've got a shot that I took at in Nevada, which when we come back from the break, I'll go ahead and kind of pop it out there for everybody to see. I'm usually an EVP guy. I take you know, and I love photography. I've got every camera you can name. I rarely get any video or camera evidence, but when I do, it's usually something pretty interesting. And in 2006, I took a trip with our company motorcycle group, and I'm not a motorcycle rider, but I take the Mustang, and I'm the chase support vehicle, and I provide protection for these guys, and I run right behind the tail dragger, which is the last bike. And we work together to protect the guys up front. And my presence alone just speeds things through as we go to our destination. Well, we went to the Gold Hill Hotel over in Virginia City, and I took quite a few photographs. It was one of my very first early hunts,
mm-hmm.
and I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just snapping whatever. And all those years later, I managed to – I was just flipping through, and all of a sudden I see this picture that didn't make sense. And in the photograph, it does have this kind of smoky, kind of tall, what looks to be like a human, almost something trying to manifest.
It looks like a child either holding a teddy bear or his blanket.
Yeah, so it's real hard because what the debunker in me wants to say, oh, it's just a reflection or something in that room is
off
causing
of what,
that.
Though? It's on
and
the wall.
But at the same time, I don't know. So I'm going to throw it out there for folks to decide. I am not going to call it evidence, but you'll see, when we come back from the break, and we're coming up on that time, we'll go ahead and start in on that and move into Nevada, haunted Nevada, and talk about Nevada, which is just chock-a-block full of stuff. That place is really haunted.
And Colorado, too.
So that said, we're going to go ahead and move on into our break time. And I'm going to hit it and increase the volume, which is always helpful. And we'll be back in several minutes. And thank you for tuning in to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Yeah.
William Shatner has now entered the studio, and he says he loves our show so much he'd like to do a small interview with us. So if you guys out there in listening land will give me a few minutes. John has stepped out, so I am the official interviewer. So we'd like to welcome William Shatner to the show.
It's good to be here. We've got to talk about ghosts. Talk to me about the ghosts. I've got ghosts on the Enterprise. We've killed so many people.
So what can you tell me about the Enterprise and the paranormal activity?
The warp drives have plenty of strange apparitions. Scotty is dead now. Don't know what hit Scotty, but he's in orbit now.
I can't keep a straight
I
face
so
in this
can't
place.
Handle that.
You actually did the... You talked me into this.
Actually,
Because I was going to use, because I have an...
Yeah, you're right.
This is John back.
Oh, yes, I'm holding a gun.
Bill Shatner's gone right now.
Yeah.
But we've got, I have in my studio, I have a whole lifetime collection of awards and different things. There's someone on the bridge. Something we've got to do. Spock Bones, we've got to help Kat. She's dying of laughter. Anyway, I've got all sorts of awards and things throughout the lab here. And I was going to do my impression of the outlaw Josie Wales and get to fit the Western theme, and she went into sci-fi on me.
John Stanley.
I know what you're thinking. There's six ghosts, not only five. To tell the truth, I lost track in all this excitement.
So that was about all I was going to do, but...
Dude,
anyway.
Shatner rules. I... got to say, I can't even do it.
Captain, we can't talk this way. So, anyway, let's get back to reality here.
Mr. Spock, she's going to blow.
Oh, just as Julia Child, it's so wonderful to be here in the studio. I've met William Shatner. He's a wonderful chap. He cooks a mean bit of brew. I was with him. We were having dinner with the Queen. Oh, yes, I remember it well. I do a wonderful Julia Child. We were hunting for ghosts with Julia Child and myself. I am Julia. I'm Julia. I was hunting with the Queen of England in the west side of the hotel that she were at in Arizona. And the Queen was also hoity-toity. It was just a terrible thing to see.
You have whales in Arizona.
Oh, yes. We have whales in Arizona. Oh, the Prince of Wales. He was there, yes. With the Prince of Thieves. Oh, yes, yes, it was a wonderful day. I shall never forget it. Oh, yes, so let's get back to the show. Mr. John, would you like to come back? Oh, yes, thank you. Okay.
God damn, a momentary lapse of reason.
We lost it. Anyway.
We're being taken over.
We were taken over by I don't know what. But let's go ahead and go into... if we go,
here's that picture. Oh.
Yeah, we're going to go back, and on the show page, if you scroll down to the show subject of the week...
Carla's going to fall off her chair. She's laughing.
Oh, God, Carla, we want you on the show, my pet. Come here, talk about your many books, which I have every single one. You can sign my books. Oh, yes. Okay, enough with her. But enough with Carla. We love Carla.
Carla, you're funny.
Carla's probably busting a gut.
She is.
Oh, God.
She says her Depends game.
Oh, my God. We're going to have a whole show of people doing impersonations here.
For those of you listening that aren't in the chat room, you're missing out.
Oh, God, yes, it was. It's so much fun. My Depends are wet, too. I'm about to go now. Oh, God. English Depends. Those English Depends are a lot smaller. You know, the Euros don't go as far. Oh, goodness gracious. I have to change them more often, you know. Yes, yes.
Bro.
Oh, God. Anyway. We're talking about the Ghost of the West, and we'll have to have our haunted cooking show here in the next couple of weeks. But and Clint Eastwood will visit with William Shatner.
We are truly frightening.
It's starting to scare even me, and it's pretty hard to do, man. But we were talking earlier about the Goldfield Hotel. It was the I got that wrong in the show description, but. I can't remember the name of it, but it was not Goldfield. The Goldfield Hotel is down in Goldfield, Nevada. But and we actually have something very rare. We have here at our home when the Goldfield was selling off all sorts of things, my folks happened to drop through there, just randomly popped in, and they were auctioning off bits of the hotel, and my mother picked up a mirror that you have seen.
Yes, I have. I've held it.
That mirror is huge, and they came trooping back with that, and we never thought anything about it. And then we found out later as more and more shows came out with evidence about the Goldfield and how just truly haunted it is. My mother brought up to me, oh, yeah, I have a mirror from that in my room. And so we actually have this mirror that's just huge that was sold to us by the owner at the time. And what did you think of it when you saw that, Kat?
You know, I instinctively, well, your mom, she showed it to me, and told her that there was blood all over that mirror at one time, and it had been witness to a couple of murders, which she had confirmed, which I had absolutely no clue, and... I told her, I said, there's writing on the back of that mirror and on the paper, and she said, I don't think so, and she turned it over, and there is actually writing on the back of the paper, and I know that it hung in the lobby at one point, and a prominent man had looked into it, and it had at one point been sprayed with blood.
Well, I'll tell you what, now that I didn't even know about the writing until just this moment, so I'm going to... I'm going to go up and take some pictures of that.
So your mom looked at me and she said, how do you know these things?
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm special.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take pictures of the writing and then actually post that on the site. I'd like to see more about what's going on with that mirror. I've never particularly liked it when I've seen it. It's something... Oh, yeah. How would you like for someone to tell you that mirror in your bedroom was covered with blood?
Well, it was.
Yeah, it was. And I'll be honest. I'm somewhat sensitive, and I've never particularly liked that mirror. I just don't get a good feeling
when
I'm
in there. There's a very bad feeling surrounding that mirror.
Yeah, I've never liked it. And I'll tell you what, if I ever end up with that room of my own, that mirror goes out.
That mirror's out of here.
That's out of there, man.
I'm serious.
I mean, it's a great antique. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to look at. It's a very ornate gold-colored mirror.
Yeah.
Gee, it's huge, and it's this just beautiful artifact, but there's something about it that just creeps me out. So, that said, this particular hotel in Virginia City, it's the Gold Hill Hotel, that's it. Gold Hill Hotel, which has been featured on many paranormal shows. I actually stayed there in 2006 and was able to capture something. If you look on the bottom link there of the So Subject of the Week, Ghost of the West, and you look at our particular image of it, I've pulled it up here in the studio, and it's of a particular section of the building where I did a flash photograph, and off on the left there appears to be something wispy kind of rising up between a curtain and what appears to be a couple of chairs on the left side of the photograph. And I had this photograph for 2 years before I noticed it. And so I'm not going to call it paranormal evidence, but I'm going to kind of leave it up to you to decide that is it a reflection? Is there something here more that I should be looking into?
I think you should put it to a vote.
Yeah, kind of put it to a vote.
Opinion.
So if everybody can take a look at that, and maybe who's in the chat room, and see what they think, go ahead and just you know pop in and take a look, and then just throw your determination out there, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the show.
We're looking at the image between the red curtain, and then you'll see a strip of a curtain, and it's right in between those two, right by the green chair.
Yeah, it's down to the lower edge, and there's what looks to be something vaporous. And then slightly up above, there's something that appears to be out of order and more towards the middle, which almost looks like a face. So I don't know what to make of it. It was taken in the morning hours, and just after sunrise. I was the first one up, and I walked around down there alone taking shots and just
right.
Randomly shooting photographs, so I don't know what to make of it, but it is the original photograph, and I've got all the aperture values and different things that have to do with that particular photograph proving it has not been altered.
Mm-hmm.
So going now, we'll just move on past that, though, and let's talk about, let me go zip, I'm trying to find the page in question. Here we go, Haunted Nevada Hotspots. The third link down, which has Nevada's Haunted Hotspots, is just chalk. This is really a great page about Nevada. And what's interesting is how many places I've been to, and you probably have too, that are haunted that you never realized are haunted when you were in there. And on this Nevada's Haunted Hotspots page, in Austin, the International Hotel, if you click on the link, it'll bring up a photograph. And I realized that I've traveled through there many a time, traveling through Highway 50,
mm-hmm.
Going towards northern New Mexico and into Colorado. I've stopped off and stayed at the hotel right across the street from this place, and I've eaten in the cafe. And I kind of had an odd feeling about the place, but went in anyway and would eat there, and it was a great place to eat, and I guess it's closed now. But the second story, as you can see, there's a star, kind of a star pattern up in the top, and the second story is all closed off. And I guess that if what they're saying is there's a ghost called Tommy, a former employee or owner, and Tommy has been seen and felt at the end of the bar and heard clunking around upstairs in the closed hotel. So this individual, if you have ever happened to be traveling Highway 50 and are going through, stop in Austin at the International Hotel. definitely worth a look.
We're still talking about Julia.
Oh, God, yes. It's so good to still be here. John and Kat. Ooh, wonderful host. Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Shit.
Oh, no. Let's see. Getting into... There's so much on this page, it's hard to pick, but Battle Mountain, a couple of interesting places. Donna's Diner, there's a lady in blue, which I always am amazed at how many blue and ladies in gray and ladies in white there are, but I guess it just matches whatever clothes they happen to be having.
Carla's telling you, no, no, stop
oh,
it.
Oh, no, Carla, no more depends for you. Oh, no, my child. No, no, my pussy, don't do that. Wetting yourself by listening to the show is not proper. Oh, yes. I must go cook oh so well here. Just a moment.
Anyway, here was a surprising one for me. The U.S. Navy used to fly their F-14 Tomcats and do all their Top Gun training out of Miramar down in Southern California, and they moved to their, I guess they moved their whole base of operations for Top Gun training to Fallon, Nevada. So the Naval Air Station Fallon has had quite a few things happening there. There are several places in the base that claim to be haunted. Barracks 3 on the third deck has a strange sound that comes from the room where a suicide occurred, and the lounge TV turns on by itself. And the second deck room, and I've never heard this kind of talk about rooms. I guess they equate naval thinking with decks with stories. The second deck room was occupied by a pilot killed during an exercise flight, and workers claim that this room is haunted as well. Another spot on the base is the Tahoe House, where there's no occupant, but the strong smell of a floral scent can be experienced.
Hmm.
And then we get into what we were talking about earlier with the Goldfield Hotel.
Right.
And they have the obligatory discussion about the Goldfield. And again, this is just a huge hotel, 154-room hotel, built in 1908 atop an old abandoned gold mine. And many people I've talked with say that that is not only a gold mine, but it's a portal. And it's open to many, many strong influences and very strange apparitions that come through. And the folks at Ghost Adventures, when I first saw Ghost Adventures, I thought those guys were out of their minds. But I have come to kind of respect them a bit. I wouldn't do that stuff, but, you know, they sure can, and I'll watch it. There was the image of that brick being thrown, which was, I thought, extremely interesting.
And the stick.
Yeah, and so they were chased out of there, and you could tell they were not faking it. They were running for their lives. They were not they were not happy about what they ran into there. And so here, I mean, here we have, right here on my own land, here we have a piece of that property from that hotel. I'll go ahead and shove a picture out there here in the next day or so, and then we could talk about it on the next show. But many folks say that the Goldfield, now abandoned, is said by psychics to be one of the only 7 doorways to the other side that still exists today, which I don't know about that. I'm not sure I agree with that, because there's so much, but because there's always people talking about portals everywhere. I don't know. I wonder what that all means, but maybe you... Maybe
well,
you disagree with me. Right?
The Goldfield Hotel is closed, so nobody, I mean, it isn't exactly wired for an investigation. There are cameras running 24 hours a day to that place, so who really knows what goes on in that place? I mean, the Goldfield almost seems to me like it's just a recreation of all these tragedies, and they just keep repeating themselves, but nobody's there to really capture the activity. I mean, I'm sure every time you walk in there, you're going to capture something, but to get the whole story, you'd literally have to wire that place with cameras and run it for like 3 days or whatever.
Yeah, well, we're running. I'm going to just speed through because we've got 10 minutes in the show left. Gold Hill Hotel, that's the one that I was talking about with the photograph I had taken. If you just click on the link, you'll be able to get to that. And that is the oldest hotel in Nevada. It was built in 1859. And And almost since the hotel was built, employees and guests report mysterious presences. The victims of an accident at a nearby mine are said to live there. Also, the former owner, William, who died in there in the late 1800s, is said to appear once in a while, accompanied by the strong smell of cigar smoke. He is said to have dark hair. And also, the ghost of a former housekeeper at the hotel, Rosie, appears with the smell of rosewater perfume. It said that the alcohol is smelled and that alarm clocks go off even when unplugged. And I actually stayed in there in the, one of the original rooms, and really tried to, I did some EVP work and tried to work within that spot I was in, and really nothing came through.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was interesting was I was told that if I really wanted an experience to rent the miner's cabin, which is actually a room built right into a mine shaft there,
mm-hmm.
that the Ghost Adventures crew went into. And also there's Debbie and Mark Constantino, who I saw last November when I was over in at the Haunted Asylum down over in Clovis, said that they discovered that from the EVPs they got, that the dead miners that occupy that, she asked what they wanted, and they said whiskey. And so she went and bought them Crown Royal and took it in, and she said they were literally celebrating and were totally enjoying it, and she realized that bringing gifts to ghosts is a good thing. And so,
well, you've experienced that.
Yeah,
too.
So I took, she gave that advice in November, so I bought Crown Royal for the ghosts over here on some of our places that I frequent, and they were like thanking me by the droves. I mean, it was some of the best EVPs I've ever gotten, and these guys were totally enjoying it. So the haunted gold mine that I live on here, right where we're at broadcasting from, I was getting just unbelievable thank yous. And at the Shingle Springs Cemetery, we were getting similar things. They were saying I was a bloody saint, for God's sakes. So, you know, there's something to be said. And so take gifts to them. And even on holidays I visit, if you adopt I recommend this highly if you're an investigator, adopt a graveyard and take things to them. Oh, Julia Child, oh yes, oh yes. It's wonderful to take guests to the guesties. Oh, yes, yes. Cook them a meal. Take it in. They're loving this, aren't they?
Carla's just
Carla's wet herself sick.
Oh, no, Carla.
Anyway, you know, I do recommend it highly. Adopt a spot that you know to be haunted, and take these people under your wing and develop a relationship with them, and come and see them at Christmas. Come and see them at Thanksgiving. At Easter time, bring them a little something and let them know they're remembered, and they will do things for you. They will appear for you. They'll talk to you about their lives. And I really think that rather than just investigate a place and just be there once and leave and you've got some recordings, when you give back to them and you take the time to know them, they're going to be so appreciative. It's unbelievable. So that said, moving on, Nevada, I think, is going to take up the rest of the episode. There's much more on the links that are on the homepage for this show. So, you know, throughout the week, you know, feel free to pop in and take a look at some of those links. But one I thought that struck me rather oddly was the Luxor Hotel and Casino over in on the Strip.
Oh, yeah. They've got reports from all the way from the front desk staff to housekeepers.
It's just that there seems to be a lot of strange energies that have been released by that hotel being constructed in the form it was. And it appeared that there's some who believe in the esoteric and secret properties of the pyramid, that the city will remain cursed until an artificial eye is placed on the capstone of the pyramid. So I guess they're going to have to quit letting that magician float on top and then put an eye up there. So I don't know. I've always been attracted to the Luxor. I've always wanted to be there and check it out and stay there.
You can see that laser beam from space.
Yeah.
That's how it was designed.
Yeah. And oddly enough, here we have Nellis Air Force Base. Air Force personnel and civilian mechanics at Jet Engine Intermediate Maintenance Facility Building 858. Have reported encountering a ghostly gray figure and hearing disembodied footsteps at night. The gray mass of dim light hovers about 5 feet off the ground, and other times it's observed to be a brilliant ball of light 20 feet off the ground, and the unidentified specter has been sighted along the south wall as in the hangar bay and in the hall leading into the break room. And the building was constructed in the 1960s, but it has been expanded twice since then. Now, this brings up a great point. If these things are appearing as brilliant balls of light 20 feet off the ground and they're zooming around, what makes this different from a UFO?
You know, a UFO is an unidentified flying object. It's not, doesn't have to be silver and metallic, and it doesn't have to be a spaceship. So you can call them UFOs because it looks like it's flying. It's unidentified.
Yeah.
And it's an object of some type. So that, to me, would be a UFO, right?
Yeah. And that leading into the unidentified facility, which the government says does not exist, 80 miles north of Las Vegas.
We got 5 minutes left, and everybody's coming out.
Yeah. That said, that the town of Rachel, which is immediately west of that facility that does not exist, has had many, many different events happen there. All sorts of strange sightings, things that happen throughout there. In this particular page, they're talking about Dreamland, Area 51, a place known as the Black Mailbox, mile marker 29.5. That Rachel is situated between that particular area and also the Death Valley. And I've driven through Death Valley in the dead of night, and let me tell you, that is one spooky place to drive alone at night in a Mustang that is overheating, and it's like 9 o'clock at night, and you're running your heater at full blast so you can blow the heat out of your engine so you won't boil over. And I literally climbed out of Death Valley with 118 degrees at 9 o'clock at night, came up over a ridge into Rachel, and I got just out of the bowl of what was all that hot air mass, popped into Rachel, and thought I was in this really cool air until I realized the temperature outside was 90 degrees. It actually felt cool to me. So that's how fast you pop out of Death Valley, the grip of that place. It's just, but there's an energy there. And I had on the page, we've got 2 minutes remaining, but there's a Furnace Creek Inn, which it's worth looking into. Take a look at that and see what you think. And maybe we'll talk just a little bit since we ran out of time, and I'm going to go to 2 hours with the show here because we just seem to never get enough time. So we'll go ahead and start winding it down. I think we've established there's an awful lot here on the western edge of the United States.
I wanted to say Carla has a website. It's www.hicklin.webs.com, and that's hicklin.webs.com.
And yeah, Carla, thank you. I'm sure you enjoyed Julia Child.
yes, it's so good to be here.
So that said, and I'm going to start sponsoring commercials for Depends, as part of the show.
I think you should.
I think that
least.
Should be something that happens, but. You know, I think what we're going to start doing is looking at different sections of the country and maybe bringing in folks for authority. Oh, 90 seconds left. So we're going to go ahead and start looking into different regions of the country and bring in folks from different areas of, I don't know where Carl is based out of. She's probably an authority on whatever region she's from. And bring them in and start talking about some of these places and featuring them so we can kind of get, bring these places to people's attention. And remember, you're not obligated to just investigate places you hear about. Go find them. Use the techniques like what we have found, where you go in to just take a recorder with you and go hunt up a place. You may be the first person to ever recognize that the place is haunted.
That's right.
That there's a spiritual entity there, and that you may not only that, get to develop a relationship with them. And they'll teach you things. They'll take time to work with you. And so it's just a wonderful thing to be in this business. I'm a degreed scientist working in this field, and I've been doing it a long time. And a lot of people look at me funny in my profession and think I'm not being scientific, but what is this other than a science?
Exactly.
To reach out to the unknown and find out what's happening. So that said, we're coming up at the end of the show, and we want to thank you all for taking time to be with us again for another week. And we'll be on once again in a week. And thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye,
folks.
You're
welcome, sweetie. Scroll down.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
I can't help myself. For those who, anybody who's crazy enough to listen to the end of the show.
Listen up.
We've got more. Let's go ahead and play this one.
I give you no break. Not even your eyes, you're not giving you no break. Hey, hey, bad boy, bad boy. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you?
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Okay, guys, we're off the air, and God bless, and see you next week.